So our next speaker comes from North Dakota State University. It is Anjay Kumar. He'll be speaking on radiation hybrid maps of wheat and their application in sequence assembly of large and complex plant genomes.
Thank you, Bob, for giving me the opportunity to present my experience with the radiation hybrids in wheat. And good morning again, everyone. So today I will be presenting our experience with radiation hybrid maps, the development of radiation hybrid panels, and how we have used those for plant genomic research. So radiation hybrid mapping is very commonly used technique in animal systems. They have used it for whole genome sequence assembly, cloning genes, for several years. But in plants, there are very few examples where radiation hybrid mapping has been actually used. So the first thing is, what is radiation hybrid mapping? So in radiation hybrid mapping, what we use is, instead of recombinations, we use radiation-induced chromosomal breaks to map the markers onto the chromosome. So the principle is same. Any two markers which are closely linked together, they have more chances of going together after breakage rather than the two markers which are separated for a large distance. So using this principle, we map the marker onto the chromosome and calculate their distances. So then the next question is, why do we need radiation hybrid mapping in plants when we have already established protocols for genetic mapping? And as you can see in this slide, several studies have shown that a large chunk of a chromosome, particularly in the centromeric region, they show very low recombination frequency, recombination rate there. Almost one-third, one-fourth of the chromosome near the centromeric region has less than 1% recombination. So how we are going to map markers there or clone the genes if they are located in that particular region? So when we come to radiation hybrid mapping, because it uses radiation-induced chromosomal breaks, which are independent of recombination events, so we achieve much better resolution across the chromosome and more uniform distribution of markers across the length of the chromosome. So when we compare radiation hybrid mapping with genetic mapping, radiation hybrid mapping is based on plus versus minus assay. So we look for the presence of the marker or the marker is absent there. So we don't need genetic polymorphism in there. So it's independent of recombinants, as I told earlier. And because it's independent of recombination, so we get more uniform resolution across the length of the chromosome. And we can adjust the radiation based on our requirement. We can have a low resolution panel, we can have a high resolution panel, without increasing the population size. In genetic mapping, like if we want higher resolution, we have to increase our population size enormously. But here we can increase the radiation dose and we can get higher resolution. So the steps are simple. We develop a population, we extract DNA, and then you can genotype and then double the map. So in the last few years, we have doubled the radiation hybrid panel for several chromosomes and for the whole genome of the wheat. So for different objectives, we have different strategy to double the RH panels. Particularly, like for example, here we were interested in developing RH panel for chromosome 7B. So what we did was we took a substitution line where chromosome 7B is substituted with chromosome 7D. And then we radiated a normal Langdon durum wheat with gamma rays. We can radiate seeds or we can radiate the pollens. I will explain later on what are the advantages and disadvantages. And then what we get when we make a cross, and we call it RH1 or F1, you can call. So in RH1, as you can see, for all 13 chromosomes, there will be one copy of normal chromosome, one copy of the chromosome which is coming from the irradiated parent. But for 7B, the only copy coming is from the irradiated parent. So any deletion on chromosome 7B can be easily detected because there is no normal chromosome there. So then we can map the markers based on the deletion frequency on the chromosome 7B. Similarly, we have doubled the RH panels for the whole genome. Our main project was like developing the panel for D genome as well as tertiary. So what we did was, we use a synthetic weed where we have a genome of AL878. We radiated synthetic weed and crossed it with the normal Langdon. So as you can see, in the RH1, for A genome, for B genome, there is one copy of normal chromosome and one copy of the chromosome with the deletions. But for D genome, the only copy coming is from irradiated synthetic. So any marker deleted on chromosome, D genome chromosome, we can map them using any platform. Similarly, we were interested in developing RH panel for A and B genome, so we irradiated Chinese spring wheat, hexaploid wheat, and then crossed it with Agilocylindrica, which has C and D genome. So as you can see in RH1 panel, for A genome and B genome, there is no normal copy, so any marker deleted there can be easily mapped. Now, generally what we do is, because an ideal panel will be where we have 50% deletion frequency, but it's not easy to turn those panels in plants, particularly because we have to grow the plant, so plant don't survive it if it has too many deletions. So what we do is we generate larger panels. For D genome, we had almost 4,000 lines we developed, but this was based on seed panel. And then finally what we do is we screen those panels with few markers spread across the genome, and then select 200 or 300 best lines which shows maximum deletion frequency, and then use those lines for final mapping. So we have used, initially we started with the seed panel, but with the seed panel, because seeds go through extra meiosis, there we radiate the seeds, we plant them, and then use those pollens from that RH0 plant to make crosses. So what happens is the deletion frequency is very low, it's 1%, 2%, 3%, based on different doses. We have 15 kR, 250 kR. Comparatively, then we started using pollens instead of the seeds. So we take the seeds from the one parent where we are interested in deletions, and we irradiate them because the pollens are haploid, so we get more deletions, and it doesn't go through extra meiosis. And then, as you can see here, we have 10, 20, and 30% deletions in 1, 2, and 3 kR. The advantage is, for seed panels, you can see there are larger, the pollen panel, we have larger deletions. But comparatively with seed panel, we have smaller deletions. So if you want more higher resolution and we want a contiguous map, a combination of both approaches works best for us. Then when we double the panel, we wanted to see what is the deletion size in there and how many deletions are there per chromosome. So we genotyped our panel, 178 lines with around 700 markers, and as you can see here, the deletion, there were on average 2 deletions per chromosome per line, so like 14 deletions per D genome, and the average size was around 42 MB, and most of the deletions were smaller, from 0 to 40 MB. But the deletions which we detect, it is always proportional to how many markers we use. Suppose we are using less markers, so we are not able to detect the smaller deletions. As we keep on increasing the number of markers, we keep on detecting more deletions, smaller deletions, as you can see in this figure. When we use 35 markers, we were able to find in one line deletions for like 1 or 2 chromosomes, but as we increase more markers, there were majority of the lines has deletions for all the 7 chromosomes. So which means that when we genotype our panel with even thousands of markers, we will be able to find many more deletions there. Smaller deletions. So now, the main advantage of radiation hybrid, as I said earlier, is that we don't have a particular reason that there is a recombination particular reason. In radiation hybrid, we find that the deletions are spread across the whole genome, whole length of the chromosome. As you can see here, across the whole D genome, it was more or less similar. And for this is important here, that we use the marker from the centromeric regions. Telomeric regions, subtelomeric regions, and the deletion frequency was almost same. This picture gives a better picture of many markers across the length of the chromosome. As you can see, near the centromeres, there is no preferential retention, that there are more markers retained here comparatively. Almost across the length of the chromosome, the deletion frequency is more or less same. So what this means? This means that when we made the maps, the average resolution in our maps was, when compared to the genetic maps, was almost 14 times higher in allelotopsy maps. And these maps were based on 178 lines only. We confirmed the same with another panel we have for a genome of Chinese spring, and we found almost similar resolution there. But most important thing was, in the centromeric region, the resolution was almost 84 times higher. And it's simple, because in genetic mapping, there is no recombination, almost very few recombination happening in the centromeric regions. So the resolution becomes very important, actually, to map the markers in the centromeric regions. We confirmed the results with another study using chromosome 3B, and you can see almost similar type of resolution in the centromeric region was observed. And this was based on 92 RH lines compared to 400 lines of in genetic mapping. So this picture you can see clearly why is it happening, because in genetic maps you see most of the markers goes here and then they show just a horizontal line. So because there is no recombination, so we are not able to separate those markers. In RH map you can see here with 178 lines we were able to resolve 97% of the markers. Comparatively, when I compared the results with the genetic maps using same platform, and this consensus map was built using 100 biparental populations, in that consensus map almost only 50% of the markers were resolved, and we were able to resolve 97% of the markers. And then we confirmed the resolution using known markers from the back counting. We designed markers from the known back countings that we know they are separated by 400-500 kb. And we confirmed that the resolution of our panel was around 400 kb. Another advantage of radiation hybrid we found is you can map a lot more markers, almost several folds. You can see with two maps only, RH maps, we were able to map around 1,000 markers compared to the 100 biparental population, like 900 maps markers. Then we use those maps to anchor the back contigs. And as you can see here, we were able to map almost 55% more markers than the genetic maps using almost 500 lines. And the interesting thing is most of the markers goes to the centromeric region in here. And good thing, when we compare the RH maps with the other RH maps, you can see here the distribution is more or less uniform. But compared to genetic maps, a lot of markers in the centromeric regions are missing in those regions. Same thing you can see here in between RH maps and on the genetic map. So we have extended this technique to mapping the genes as well. I will just give one example here quickly. This gene for male sterility was known for a long time to be located on chromosome 3B, but it was never mapped to the genomic region where it is actually. So we use radiation hybrid maps, and the reason being because there is no genetic variability available for sterility. So we use radiation hybrid maps, and we were able to map that region on chromosome 7B in a 7MB interval. So, in summary, I believe that radiation hybrid mapping is a great tool, and it can complement genetic mapping in achieving better maps and to map the genes, particularly in the low recombination regions. At the end, I would like to say thanks. All these projects were initiated by Dr. Sharia Kianian with the funding from NSF. BJ Tiwari, he worked on Chinese Spring panels. My supervisor, Dr. Margum Filippo, worked on chromosome 3B. And all other collaborators. I would be happy to take any questions if you have the time.
Thank you. Thank you. We only have time for one short question.
We have done this radiation hybrid panels for barley as well. It also depends upon which type of material we have. Like, I mean, here. People have used it in cotton as well. I mean, you can use it. It's just you have to reduce the dose, actually. You can control the dose and you can reduce. And the more important thing is what type of material you have available. You cannot use two normal species to cross them. I mean, it will still work there, but then only you will be able to map the markers which are polymorphic. Comparatively here, we use a system where we get the markers which we are interested in hemizygous condition. Like we crossed hexaploid with the durum wheat, so the D genome comes in hemizygous condition. So if we have such system in any crop, it is easy to develop these panels.
Thanks again. Thank you so much.